Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, 105 has been memorized probably by us all. Let's say it together from memory. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, what? 105. Let's try it again. I think some of us didn't know that too well. I'm surprised. All right, try it again. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Well, that was good. That was a lot better than that first time. But we have a battle in our hands, and the Dean Burgon Society has begun just in 1 year of its history and of its time to fight this battle. We hope successfully. We hope under the leadership of the Lord, God of heaven and earth, the battle for the Word of God in our day. Not that we don't have the Word of God in our day. We do. But the question is, how do you find the needle in the haystack? How do you find the Word of God amidst all these other versions and translations and other texts of the Hebrew Old Testament and texts of the Greek New Testament and so on? How do we find, how do we locate that book? So we have a battle. And we at the Dean Burgon Society hope that you will avail yourselves of all the help that you can get and all the help that we might be able to help you with in this society in order to help this battle, to win it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have... I would like to speak tonight on Hitherto Has the Lord Blessed Us. The very final message of the workshop at the end on the 11 o'clock hour on Thursday morning, we want to finish with the subject of Henceforth Can and Will the Lord Help Us. But first of all, Hitherto Hath the Lord Helped Us. In approaching the subject of the Dean Burgon Society, we would like to narrate some of the blessings of the Lord God of heaven and earth upon us as a group. And just a minute, I want to get something here. We have made tremendous progress through the help of the Lord, through these many months that we've been organized. God has helped us and blessed us. And I'd like to mention some of the ways in which God has helped our Dean Burgon Society in the organizational structure and other ways. First of all, He's helped us in the founding of the Dean Burgon Society, November 2nd and 3rd, 1978. Almost a year ago, in Philadelphia, in a hotel there at the International Hotel, Airport International, there were a group of men who met, and we had a series of articles of faith, a first draft of them at least, an operation, an organization. And we met and prayed and read the Word of God and asked ourselves, do we wish to form an organization in order to do battle for the things of God and for His Word? And I believe God marvelously undertook for us on that occasion of November the 2nd and 3rd, 1978, with those men that were there, and we did accept and adopt the organizational articles of faith, organization, and operation of the Dean Burgon Society on that date, 2nd and 3rd of November. We had some changes on the Articles of Faith and organization and so on, operation. The first draft did not pass unscathed. What organization would there be that did not have some changes here and there as these men met? We originally drafted a tentative schedule of what we thought would be good for Articles of Faith and operation of our organization. I passed them on to Pastor Bynum and Dr. Fuller, and the three of us, more or less, were the calling committee. We called these different men. We called over 50 men from around the country and invited them to come to that founding meeting if they could and if they would. We told them the purposes. We told them what it was going to be about. And of those 50-some people and men that were invited, I think we had some 18 or 19 men that were there. And of the 18 or 19, these were the men, some of them at least, who formed the first founding committee, executive committee of the Dean Burgon Society. So we praise God for this. And we adopted it. We organized ourselves. And later on, the next few months, we got a third-class mail permit, and we were able to mail the Dean Burgon News. A little bit later on, we became incorporated as a nonprofit religious tax-exempt corporation in the state of New Jersey. And we're able to issue our own receipts, for gifts given to our organization that were tax exempt from our federal government. So this founding was a miracle of God's grace. The pictures are mentioned here in our January Dean Burgon News. Those that were attending that first meeting, we elected the executive committee. There were only us that were there, and we were the first annual meeting, if you want to call us the first annual meeting. Really, this is the first annual meeting, but that was the founding annual meeting. And we elected the officers, and then according to our Constitution, we selected from the executive committee officers. Five officers were selected. They selected yours truly as the president, Dr. Hollywood as vice president, Dr. Fuller as vice president, Reverend Earl Griffith as Alan Griffith as secretary, and of course Mr. Emmy Nettles as treasurer. And those are officers for this past year. Now this year we will be electing a new executive committee. And this, as soon as we can bring the recommendations from our nominating committee, maybe tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, we will be able to present a slate as a recommended for the meeting of executive committee officers for a new year. And then after those are elected by this body, by our members that are here, some of you may not be members, we welcome you to our meetings. Those of you who are members will be voting on those executive committee members, and then we will have these executive committee men appoint their officers according to our Constitution among their number, one president, two vice presidents, a treasurer, and a secretary. And so this is what we will do for this year. But the founding God has blessed us in, and we praise God for it. It was not easy, but we praise God that He saw us through. Then the second thing we want to ask and praise God for that He has helped us is in the Articles of Faith, Organization, and Operation that were adopted in that time. Now, this organization is not a particular specific denominational organization as far as doctrine is concerned. It's a fundamentalist organization, however, and we face the issues square and fair on the 24-hour, or rather the solar days of creation, on the deity of Christ, His bodily resurrection, His blood atonement on the cross, heaven and hell, and the various doctrines, separation, all these doctrines, creation, and the Trinity, and the Bible, especially the Bible, we hold very clearly on this position. But we praise God for this, and He's helped us in the organization of these Articles of Faith in operation. We have these reprinted, and if any of you need extras, I brought some with me in order for you to read them and to understand them. Now, we require in the Dean Burgon Society, if you want to be a member of that society, that you read these Articles of Faith and Operation and Organization, and that you sign each year the fact that you've read them and you agree and accept them and will follow along with them for that next year. And then by the payment of your membership fee, you become a member of Dean Burgon Society. So we're very thankful to God for the adoption of these Articles of Faith and Organization. And we've had to put these articles to the test to see whether or not they held up. I'll tell you about that a little later. And they have held up. They may need modification, change here and there, an amendment, but they've held up and they've held firm, and we praise God for that. But let me get on to the third thing we praise God for. Hitherto hath He helped us. That is in the beginning of this little paper, the Dean Burgon News. Praise God, as I said before many times, for Pastor E.L. Bynum, Lubbock, Texas, sitting right over here, our next speaker. That brother has got a heart for the printed word, and he publishes probably more sound, fundamentalist Baptist literature. He's a Baptist preacher out there in Lubbock, Texas. Probably more sound literature, as Dr. Cedarholm mentioned earlier today, than probably many men in the country, I think. We like his materials, and we use his materials. And you know, that's why E.L. Bynum, he doesn't know it maybe, that's why I called him up and asked him with Dr. Fuller and I to be the calling founding committee to call these men together, because I had an eye on his printing press. But you know, Brother Bynum, I had an eye on more than his printing press. The man's heart and love for Jesus Christ and evangelism and the Word of God. He stands, and nobody has to question where he stands. He stands and stands right where he ought to stand in the Scriptures and the Word of God. Everything that's important to us. He's a brother beloved, and even though he's got a Texas accent, as he'll tell you about a little later, we get along great. And I just have to call him up and frankly tell him something, and he frankly tells me something, we get along fine. We don't always agree on points, but when we part, we're friendly, aren't we, Brother Bynum? And he tells me, and you know we need counsel, brother. And Brother Fuller the same way. I call him up, and we don't always agree either, do Brother Fuller, but we part friends, we love each other in the Lord, and we work together, see? But these two fellows right here, you can talk to them and ask them things, they give suggestions, and that's what we did. Brother Bynum has succeeded in an unbroken succession January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, and September, the 9 solid months. Now, we're a little late here now and then because we didn't get our copy to him in time, and we're not going to blame him for the lateness. We may not come out in September with September's issue. We did this month. I don't know how many got theirs yet. Anybody in this area got September issue through the mail? No? Well, that's why we gave it to you here. You'll get it probably tomorrow or the next day. But we've done this, and through the wonderful editorship and printing there, Brother Byron, this has come out. Now, it's a little paper, but we praise God for little papers. Everything starts little. You started little, and I started little when we grew up. We were bigger now, but we started little, didn't we? And this little organization started little. But I feel, listen, we've got a lot of things in the way of growth in the Dean Burgon News. We're going to get as many new, fresh, solid, live authors as we can. We're going to get as many articles on different subjects as we can. We're going to get reprints as we can of the different articles that are in here and other places and so on. And we want to expand it. We talked about that in the executive committee meeting this afternoon. Brother Bynum says we wish we could have a bigger paper than 4 pages. We'd like to have 6 or 8 pages. And so, as the Lord prospers, we can't move ahead too fast, too far, but at least this has sounded the warning cry, the Dean Burgon News, and we praise God for this. And hitherto hath the Lord blessed us in the founding of it and the starting of it. And it's an attractive paper. I think he does an excellent job. He's a neat printer. He's not a sloppy printer. We got some of those. I don't want to spread anybody's toes if you happen to be one of those, but I just say positively, he has a nice printing job, and it's a wonderful, neat job, and it's legible. See? Now, I'm going to brag on you, Brother Bynum, because I like it. I really do. And I praise God for it. So that's the third thing we want to praise God. Hitherto hath the Lord blessed us. 9 solid months in succession. And listen, brethren, pray for us that the Lord will give us the funds to continue printing this and mailing it out and getting the members and the subscribers and expanding. Would you do that? Because without God's help, we can't afford this. We can't do it. But with God's help, we can do. And God is able to let us do it and help us to do it. It's a great cause. All right, there's the fourth thing we want to praise God for. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us in the Dean Burgon Society, and that is in getting members of the Dean Burgon Society. Members, both regular members and life members. We've got a number of men and even women across the country that have given their $50 or maybe even more than $50 and have signed up as life members. We praise God for this. They've signed the articles of faith and they agree with us and they take a stand with us. And then those many, many others who have signed as regular members for a gift to the Dean Burgon Society of $5. And we have about 500 members at this time, and after 1 year. Well, you might say, well, that's not very many, is it? Well, it's 500 more than we had last year at this time. It sure is, I'll tell you that. And I say, praise God for that. Hitherto hath the Lord blessed us. And that means 500 men and women and other people and young people around this country. And listen, a lot of them are students at Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Praise the Lord for that. A lot of them, student members. And we all need the students, the young people. We had one of our brethren, Brother Paulson, Vernon Paulson, who went home to be with the Lord just about a month ago. And he was an executive committee member. Well, now who's going to take some of these fellows' place? He was a great soldier for Christ. He wrote this book, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, To Which Translation Should I Go? And Dr. Fuller had him on his board, Rich Bible Society, a great man. He was at our founding meeting, and a beloved brother, and he's home to glory now. We wrote to his widow, and she appreciated our letter, and she wrote back, and his heart was with us. And we need replacements. And so these student members and these student young people, boys and girls, young men, young women, are needed and necessary. So we praise God for the members that believe some of these doctrines and these doctrines all across the land. I have a 3x5 card file that I brought with me. It's about this thick of our members. Now, I brought them so that we would have, in case we needed to know, is this a member or not? If our secretaries did it right, it's about this high. Well, that's good for 3x5. Good start, anyway. So we praise God for that in the fourth place, getting members, life members as well as regular. Then in the fifth place, we praise God, hitherto hath he blessed us in getting subscribers to the Dean Burgon News, both regular subscribers and gift subscriptions. We find some people wanting to give gift subscriptions for a gift of $2.50 per year to many of their friends, their pastors, their Sunday school teachers, and whether they're regular subscribers that they themselves get it or whether they're gifts to someone else, we praise God for that. Now, we have another 500 in addition to the members. Now, the members automatically get the Dean Burgon News. But 500 more in addition to that who cannot agree with our principles. They cannot sign their members. They cannot agree with the doctrines that we hold to for some reason or another. We don't ask questions. They don't want to sign it. They don't want to be a member. That's fine. But they want to be informed as to what we're doing and what we're saying. We've got a total then of 500 members, roughly 500 that are subscribers, and I remember 1,000 men, women, and children across this land, in Australia, in Europe, some of them down in, up in Canada, and New Zealand, and various places, and in the United States, of course. Now, again, that's a small number. But that's not so small. That's 1,000 more subscribers than we had a year ago. And praise God for that. And we praise God that there's some interest. And an interest is shown on various circles, and these subscribers are necessary. And your best missionary work for the Dean Burgon Society, frankly, in addition to many other things, is seeing if you can interest members and subscribers to the news report. Now, if they can't agree with us and don't want to be members, at least they may want to subscribe to see what we're doing and some of the things that the Lord is using us in these last days in which we live. So we praise God for that, the subscribers. And then the sixth thing I'd like to praise God for, and hitherto hath the Lord helped us in the Dean Burgon Society, that is in the distribution of books and articles on this whole subject of the biblical texts. Distribution, that's one of our purposes, the founding purpose. One of the purposes is to distribute literature, materials, booklets, pamphlets, on the issues of the texts of the Bible, the Old Testament, Masoretic Hebrew text, the New Testament, Greek received text, and so on. And we have done this. We've distributed which Bible? And in our Dean Burgon News, we advertise these different books and encourage people to get them. Many have written in. True or False, also by Dr. Fuller as editor of that. A Counterfeit or Genuine, an excellent book, as many of you who have it already know, on Mark 16, 9 to 20, and John 8, The Woman Taken in Adultery. Genuine or Counterfeit. And then The Heresies of Westcott and Hort that we announced up here. We distributed that. Then some of the materials on 1 John 5, 7. And, of course, The Revision Revised, this book that has already been in print by Dean John Burgon, which is an excellent critique of the English Revised Version of 1881 and the Westcott and Hort text, which is a false text, and also the Greek theory of Westcott and Hort. And so this we publicized and sent out that. And of course, then, of course, we've just gotten off the presses, Brother Bynum, and this Guide to the Textual Criticism of the New Testament by Edward Miller. That's just come off the press, and we have gotten a whole lot of those out, and we appreciate the interest that this has made. And so these are books. We're going to get others. We're going to recommend others. We sent this flyer. Some of you maybe picked it up as you came in, announcing reprint number one, announcing this new book by Edward Miller. Now, we sent this out to, I believe it was 275 bookstores, publishers, and so on, that have an interest in our type of material on the text of Scripture. Now, I'm hoping that we get a huge avalanche of orders. But you know how avalanches come sometimes with books. They're not quite too avalanche-y. They're a little bit smaller than we would like to see. But there was a company in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You pray for this, would you please? It's called the Religious Discount Book Center, isn't it? Religious Discount Book Center. They've got about 10 or 12 different bookstores all around the country. And they've written to us, and they said, we want a sample copy sent to us of The Heresies of Westcott and Hort. That publishing house is interested in this type of material against the Westcott and Hort theory and for the received text of the King James Version. Then they said, as soon as you get that off the press, a Guide to the Textual Criticism of the New Testament by Edward Miller, send us a sample copy of that. Well, we sent them a sample copy of both of them. We're waiting and hoping that they will order in huge amounts, any of these and all of these, so that they can get them out across the country. So there are some bookstores and book agents that we have found very, very interested in our materials, getting them out into the circulation. So we're hopeful that this will be the case. But we want to continue to circulate these different sound literature items and books and booklets and pamphlets and all sorts of things that deal with the principles and the organizational objectives of the Dean Burgon Society. Well, then there's a seventh thing. I've already hinted at it and mentioned it, and that is this reprinting of Miller's book. It's number one, and I like the cover that Pastor Bynum designed himself, very much so. And he says on the bottom, a Dean Burgon Society reprint, which means there are going to be others. That's what he feels, and his heart is in that, and we're in that with him. And we want to, first of all, pay off the bill that we owe for this one. That's why we like to sell these books, so we can give him his money and go home and start on the second reprint. I don't know what it's going to be. We'll discuss it with him and so on. We've got a number of Dean Burgon's books that we've made.
I I've showed them to
different ones, I guess the students and so on, when I was there in chapel on Monday, but let me just run over the titles. Some of the books that are potential reprint material. But it takes funds and time and interest. But here's Burgon's Inspiration and Interpretation, 1861, 545-page book. I've made copies of it like that, and there may be some people that before we reprint it in actual book form, they want just copy form. We'd be glad to give it to them that way, as we've said before. And labor plus materials, and that's we've got a copy machine in our office back in Collingswood that our other organization had, the Bible for Today, and we're glad to let it out to the Dean Burgon Society, and it prints front and back, both sides. So it's just like a book. We've got a binding machine that binds it like this, so solid and straight and never pull out. And we've got a lettering machine that gives you a nice effect like that and so on. We can do business. We got things, the plastic covers and so on. But this is the way in the interim until we can get the publication to come out and reprint here. It's those who do want some of Burgon's work. Here's 1864. He wrote a treatise on the pastoral office, over 512 pages on pastors and what they ought to know about the Word of God. This is a classic. 1871, John Burgon wrote the last 12 verses of Mark, proving conclusively in over 400 pages that those are genuine verses, Mark 16, 9 to 20, without a shadow of a doubt. And if we can get the fundamentalist brethren and Bible-believing Christian brethren and pastors who are deceived on this subject, that's not that they're purposely avoiding it, they just don't know the evidence. If we can get them wakened up, and this may be our next reprint. It's been in print and out of print several years, different editions. I guess Brother Jay Green had one printed a while back and several other folk, but as far as I'm concerned, it's out of print now and it needs to go back in. So this may be the next. I don't know. The first chapter of Genesis, Burgon wrote a little 32-page pamphlet, 1886, taking his stand on creation and 24-hour days and the various things and the chronologies of Genesis. And tremendous. Here's a two-volume, 801-page biography of John William Burgon, the late Dean of Chichester, by Goulburn, 1892. And what a life he had, and what he was, how he was appreciated. All these are helpful. Then, after Burgon's death, Miller, his understudy, Edward Miller, put out posthumously the traditional text of the Gospels in 1891, 340 pages. Tremendous book that Burgon was working on at the time of his death. This needs also to be put into print. And then, after Burgon's death in 1896, Miller came out with a second volume, The Causes of Corruption of the Gospels, by Burgon and Miller. 1896, 316 pages. Again, excellent on this whole field of textual criticism. Then, 1897, Edward Miller's Oxford Debate on Textual Criticism. He went to Oxford, 55 short pages, and he let them have it. And he debated these so-called scholars of the Westcott and Hort stripe and really put them down and told them what was what on the Burgon tradition. Tremendous little book. And then Miller has a brief one on the textual commentary of the Gospels, Edward Miller. 1899, 144 pages, giving lots of textual data and information. These are some of the books. Now, Burgon also wrote four volumes on the Gospels, one on Matthew, one on Mark, one on Luke, one on John. What a voluminous writer. These aren't all of his books at all. Of course, the Revision and Revised is already reprinted, and Guide to Textual Criticism of the New Testament has been reprinted, and we have that already in effect. But these are just a partial list. The Lives of 12 Great Men, I didn't even bother with those. And there's several others of John Burgon's works, or Miller's works, that could be helpful. But these are some. And we ask the Lord to continue His great blessing upon us with this seed thought in the past, having finished this, completed this, Guide to the Textual Criticism, as a reprint. We look to Him in the future to continue that blessing. But He has blessed us with that in 1 year. And I would not have thought it possible. I don't think any of the men that were met there would have thought it possible to reprint anything. In fact, I don't think some of the men thought it was possible that we get out of Dean Burgon News for 9 straight months. I don't think so. We have little faith. You know, people have little faith. And I'm one of them. I'm going to be firm to admit it. But what God can do in the future of this organization the next year, I don't know. And I'm not going to limit Him. I'm just going to praise Him for what He's done in the past and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Praise God for it. And then the eighth thing that He has helped us with hitherto in this Dean Burgon Society, and that is in the developing of a mailing list. Over 10,000 names through the kindness and through the charity and the grace of Miss Carol Fry, one of the ladies that lives up there in, is it Iowa, isn't it? Iowa? Estherville, Iowa. She is a fine young lady, and she volunteered to be a secretary for Dean Burgon Society without pay. We didn't have to pay her a penny. We got her a typewriter, electric, IBM typewriter, and she typed up these, what we call scriptomatic cards. That's the kind we use to get our mailing list. And she worked and she worked and she worked, and she turned out 10,000 names. We gave her catalogs of every fundamentalist organization, pastor's list and missionary list that you can think of. From the JIB to the IFCA to the Bible Baptist, you name it. All of them that we thought would be even remotely interested in the things of the Lord, the things of the Dean Burgon Society. And the very first issue that we published, this issue number one, January issue with the Articles of Faith and so on, we sent out some 22 to 25,000 of those first issues. Now that means there are several of us who had mailing lists already. I have about 6,000. Brother Bynum has several thousand. And Dr. Fuller and various ones of us, I guess, I don't know, whole different ones had different numbers of mailing lists. And we sent those things out. And we got 25,000 almost. Not quite, 25,000. We printed 25, I guess it was, wasn't it, Brother Bynum? I think 20,000 and 5,000 extra. But that first issue, well, they didn't all immediately subscribe. The next time, I think we ran off. This was a one-time deal with all of our mailing lists just being used at one time in order to get the word out, see, to our constituencies. And after that, we printed, I believe it was 10,000, wasn't it, Brother Bynum, if I recall correctly? 10,000 the next issue, or 20,000, was it 10,000, or was it... Then we went to 7,500, and then 5,000. In other words, each month, we sort of went down, but we got the mailing list, and we got a lot of people interested, and so much so, and then we finally down to our membership and subscriber size. You know, after a while, through the kindness of a very, very interested friend, he gave us some seed corn, and that's always helpful, isn't it? Some seed corn that we could use and put this tremendous number of thousands and thousands out to the wide range. Then we want to be good stewards of God's work and God's treasure that He's assigned to us, which is not a whole lot. Our treasurer's report will show what we have. We're not a great organization as far as money is concerned, but God has been faithful to us. But we wanted to be faithful in the expenditure of those funds. And we thought the widest outreach at the start was the wisest outreach at the start, and that's what we did. And then we tapered off. Now, we're trying to operate within our budget, within our means, seed corn having been used up, but we have then the operating of funds that come in as the Lord supplies. And we're desultorily in all of our efforts in prayer that the Lord will continue to supply His work for His Word. It's His work. It's not our work. So we're going to trust Him for these things. And so now we're down to 1,500, roughly 1,500 per month in our regular mailings, Dean Burgon News, on a regular mailing basis. And that allows for roughly 1,000 for members and subscribers. That's 1,000. And that leaves us about 500 that we send samples to of this 10,000 on our total list. And we rotate that so that some get a sample this time, some a sample this time. We found several of the men have written us and have said, we would like to get issue number 4, 5, and 6 because you just sent us 1, 2, and 3 and you stopped. Well, that's good. Here's our 250. Give us a subscription and start back at number so-and-so. That's good. Some say, we heard about your organization. Start at number 1 and start my subscription with the very first one, January of 79. Well, that's good. And there's some that say, I missed one of the series of articles that you've had, and then would you please start me with this series, and so on. And so praise the Lord for this mailing list of a huge number of names and pastors and interested people we feel in the cause. So from this, we can hopefully build even a greater effective organization and society of Bible believers for the things of the Lord. The ninth thing I'd like to praise the Lord for, hitherto have the Lord blessed us, that is in the willingness to face issues. The willingness of the Dean Burgon Society to face issues. Now, there are issues that popped up immediately as soon as we came to that organizational meeting. And I'm going to be very frank about it. We mentioned it in our February issue. The issue of separation was the very first issue that popped up in our organization. We make no bones about it. We're a separatist organization. We don't want any truck with the modernists, with the apostates, with the new evangelicals, and with the compromisers. That's all there is to it, just in a mouthful. We're clean and want to stay clean and pure and want to stay that way. Well, we organized. We read the doctrinal statement. Separation very clear. We believe in the obedience to the biblical commands to separate ourselves unto God and from worldliness, ecclesiastical apostasy, and disorderly brethren. And the scriptures follow for. That's a pretty clear statement. And then we have even more specific statements for these brethren that have been willing to serve on our executive committee as far as separation is concerned. we say qualifications for nominees before they can even be nominated. The brethren that have been nominated for the executive committee, and by the way, we've just nominated about, 15, 16 of them today, at least tentatively. Some of them have to give our screening questionnaires back to us. But pending all that receipt, we've had about 16. We've got some tremendous men that are new men that are coming on here. And I know you'll be interested to hear who they are and vote on them. I'm sure it'll be a great thing on that. But one of the things for qualifications for the nominations for executive committee, the status of nominees for title officers and for other executive committee officers shall be determined by the executive committee in line with the following consideration. Now, here it is. Number one, full agreement with the Articles of Faith, operation and organization of the society as indicated in writing annually and in practice. So the writing and the practice must go together. Amen. Number two, membership fees paid to date. So we have to pay up our membership fee, be members in good standing, before we can be nominated on the executive committee. Then three, evidence that the nominee understands and agrees with the principles and work of the society and endeavors to promote the work in his area. Well, that's a good one. Then number four, here's our separation plank, very clear. Evidence that the nominee is in sympathy with and will have fellowship with only those Christian movements and organizations whose leaders and or sponsors are not connected in any way with religious apostasy. Unquote. Now, that's a pretty clear statement on separation. Well, you know, having read this to the brethren that were assembled in our first organizational meeting, we found and had to find executive committee members. Well, we had everyone to sign this, and we thought they understood it. We went over it. It was on the tape. We tape recorded our meeting, so in case we need for the minutes, we know what we said and so on. And we found out later that there were two or three brethren that were not able, really, honestly, to qualify in this area. We find a couple of brethren, very lovely men. I wouldn't say anything against their character. They're lovely men. They're brethren in the Lord. They're praying warriors. They're still members, at least... Their sympathies are with the Dean Bergen Society, but we had to ask them not to be members of the executive committee because they could not fit into this separation issue. There were two, I believe, that were Orthodox Presbyterian. Well, they have connection with the Reformed Ecumenical Synod, and that's connected on the other level with the World Council of Churches and so on. And so these were good brethren. We didn't know all their connections. We tried our very best to keep them out in the start with, but when we found out, the very first thing we took up in our next executive committee meeting was, let's follow this constitutional requirement for separation. So those two men had to go. Then we had a third man, the executive committee, the first time, and he was a Wesleyan Methodist. Well, we found out later that his connections were such that he couldn't sign this, yet he did sign it. It shows that we've got to be more in earnest as far as who we have and who we don't have as far as signing things, because I suppose a lot of us, we sign things, don't even know what we're signing. But when we found out this was the case, we checked. That's a member, of course, of the National Association of Evangelicals, the Wesleyan Methodist Church. Now, at first, he was willing, he thought, at least I thought he said, to drop his membership in the Wesleyan Methodist Church because he wanted to be with us. He's a very fine man in the textual field, as far as I can see. He's got a lot of talent. He's a younger man. He's a student now in one of the schools, and he's an older man, but yet he's going back to school. But then he found out he didn't want to drop his Wesleyan Methodist. He began and said, well, he started to fight us, you see, in regard to the separation. He said, well, we didn't want to squabble on that. But the upshot of it was we dropped him also. Well, now, as a result of that, there was one man originally on executive committee who thought we weren't separated enough, I believe. Although we had a lot of things to do, not time to do a lot of things in, but he dropped off and said, I better not be a part. Which is all right. That's just a very fine brother and a good separated man. So that wasn't directly affected. But then there was another man, a fifth one, who said, well, I don't like the way you treated these fellows that weren't separatists. He said, I'm a separatist, but I don't like the way you treated these. Well, we treated them just as kindly as we know how to treat them. We were gentlemen. I'm sure the record will show on our tape we were kind as we could be. We asked them directly their positions and so on. But he went off and he said, I can't serve. Which is fine. That's up to him. And so we lost five. Right off the bat, I separate, but we face the issue. Amen. And we want to continue to face that issue. And we may make mistakes, but believe me, it's not going to be because we don't want to do right. That's the point. Now, everybody may make mistakes and things, but we're not going to be making mistakes along these lines. We learn from things, and we want to be asking the Lord. So we face the issue of separation. Then the second issue we want to face and continue to face and have faced in our Articles of Faith is the issue of biblical inerrancy in all matters of which the Bible speaks. We've taken a strong position on that in our organization, in our Dean Burgon Society. We don't believe the Bible is without error in only the things to do with doctrine or practice, faith and practice, but we believe it includes every matter of which it speaks. All the truths, everything, history and chronology and science, anywhere it touches, you name it, and it's accurate in those original texts, and we feel we've got a pretty solid, close 99.44% in our, we feel, at least in our Masoretic Hebrew texts and our received texts in the Greek, and we feel also that the King James Version is an excellent, accurate, the finest in the market translation of these original Hebrew and Greek language texts. And so that's our platform. And we're going to still stand on the inspiration of the Scripture and the inerrancy question. That's a big battle cry in all these days with the International Council on Biblical Inerrancy that's been formed. You know, and some of these brethren are good up to a point, although they can't stand with us on separation. They don't go along with us on that, but they go along on the inerrancy. But we're carrying it on, and we agree with the inerrancy necessity to stand for an inerrant Bible. But we got to go beyond that, we feel. An inerrant Bible is one thing. But then let's get down to the fact of what type of texts in the Hebrew and texts in the Greek we're going to translate our Bibles from. And we don't want any part of the Hebrew text that changes the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text. We want to stick with that traditional Hebrew text as the Lord Jesus put his hand upon and said the Scriptures cannot be broken. Quote it from the Old Testament, quote it from Isaiah, not Deutero-Isaiah or Trito-Isaiah three times. I guess that, whatever it is, or Tesseron, the four Isaiahs they're coming up with now, but only one Isaiah. And he talked about Jonah and in the whale, the belly of the great fish, and so on. And these were historical instances. He talked about Adam and about Eve, and the Bible refers to these matters, and we hold strong that it's important to know which text and which Bible. Then the third thing that we take issue with, willingness to face it, that is inspiration of the Bible as far as original texts are concerned, as far as exact copies of the text are concerned, and versus versions or translations of the original language. We take a position that it is the original languages that are inspired of God and therefore inerrant and infallible, and exact copies of those originals, although the parchment on which those things were written are long since faded away, yet the exact copies of the words that are there are God's words, and those are inspired words, and they're inerrant words, and they're infallible words. And we think we've got a solid basis to say that we have these virtually intact today. At least the closest we have possible are those two texts we mentioned, the traditional Hebrew Masoretic and the received Greek text of Receptus in the New Testament. We praise God for the willingness to face issues. Now, there are going to be other issues that have come along, I'm sure, but we must be prepared to face these issues. We talked in the Executive Committee this afternoon, on a very volatile issue. Without mentioning the issue, we had a battle royal, yet not a battle royal, but an interesting discussion. Let me change that. An interesting discussion on the two viewpoints that is going to shape up, I predict, the next great battle for the Dean Burgon side. And we went out of there, friends. We went out of there saying, we're not going to change our Constitution. We're not going to change our Articles of Faith. We don't agree on every point in this particular issue in battle, but we're going to walk down the street together, and we're going to ask God to bless us and use us. And because if we revise the Articles of Faith to please the one side, the rest of us would leave. If we revised it to please the other side would leave. But in the providence of God, we have stated as clearly as we know how, as honestly as we know how, the truth as we believe it, so that both of us, hopefully both sides, are happy and can remain happy. And that's what we want to do, to build a bridge of understanding on these issues and yet hold exactly what we have it as written in here. So what the next issue we must face will be, who knows. But we want to stay on the Word of God and be able to stand on that Word of God and on the principles of Scripture that we've laid out here, and stand on these issues no matter what the issues. So that's the ninth thing, willingness to face issues. Then the tenth thing we want to praise God for, hitherto hath the Lord blessed us and helped us, and that is in the interest that those who differ with us have shown us. And we praise God for that. The interest that those who differ with us have shown the Dean Burgon Society. Now, why are they interested in us? They take a different position. A different text in Hebrew, Old Testament, different text in the Greek, New Testament. A different Bible in English. They don't hold to the King James Version at all, like we do think it's accurate and honest and reliable and the best in the market. They don't agree with us at all on that. Why are they interested in subscribing to the Dean Burgon News? Now, you answer me that, and you'll have something. Let me give you some of their names. Dr. Bruce Metzger of Princeton Seminary. Very liberal man, Westcott and Hort man, has written letters to different ones answering some of the questions that have been raised in the Dean Burgon News. Now, here's a man who's a great scholar, I'm sure. Dr. Cederholm knows him, I'm sure. We've discussed him a little bit here in the different private conversations and so on, and others have known him, and he's a tremendous Greek scholar, no question, but he holds to that, and I think Dr. Fuller's written him letters, hasn't you, Bruce Metzger at Princeton? But he's taken the time to write letters. Why does he bother with the Dean Burgon Society news report, newsletter, and take his precious time and even try to answer anything we bring up? Because I believe he realizes we might have something and we might have the truth, and he's interested. And if it wasn't anywhere near accurate or near close, I don't think he'd waste his time. But I praise the Lord for some of these who are not on our side but are interested in what we're doing. Now, we don't know whether they're going to change their minds. I hope some of them will. But at least they want to arm themselves and prepare themselves for the battle that they may have with their students, who may also be reading some of our materials and be hostile to the teacher's position. I don't know. Second man is Dr. Palmer. Edwin Palmer, I believe his name, New International Version, director of that translation. A version based completely on the Westcott and Hort Greek text, and a phony, I think, a very fallacious Hebrew text, not a Masoretic, pure, simple Masoretic text. But he has subscribed to the Dean Burgon News. Why? I believe there's an interest stirring, even on those who are not on our side, have nothing to do with that position. They want to be informed. What are we doing? What are we saying? What is the Dean Burgon Society? Who was Dean Burgon? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of these very men that are opposing us and their principles would subscribe not only more so, but also get some of these reprints that we're putting out. I would not be a bit surprised if liberal libraries would not subscribe and buy these reprints of Edward Miller and Dean Burgon as we come out with them. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. They're interested. Something's happening. Something's out there. Praise God for it. And then I take a third one, Dr. Arthur Farstead. Dallas, Texas. Bible-believing man, as you know, so on. He was the one that sponsored the New King James Version and so forth. I'm very thankful that New King James did base itself on the Greek text that underlay the New Testament, the same as the King James Version. I'm glad for that. At least we got that much. I don't know too much about what I could say in regard to the changes in the English. I don't go along with that so much, but I'm glad for this. But he is also a subscriber to the Dean Burgon News. He wants to know what we're doing. Now, many things we do share together. He believes against the Westcott and Hort, and he stands with us in many areas. He's not completely with us in some issues, I'm sure, like separation and so on. He's with Dallas Theological Seminary, as you know, one of the new evangelical schools. But he's interested. Let me give you a fourth one of interest to people. American Bible Society, a subscriber of the Dean Burgon News. Well, you know they're under the total control factory of modernists and liberals. They've completely taken over the Westcott and Hort crowd. They've gone whole hog with the Today's English Version and Good News for Modern Man and all these other translations. Why are they interested in this paper? What would happen if this paper stops? What would happen if this organization falls flat? Wouldn't they have a laugh? Pray for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. We need the prayers of God's people to hold up our hands. I'm not bragging about these things at all, and I'm just hitting a few of them. I'm just going to give you one more, and then I'll quit on these that are interested, that are not on our school, not in our stand, not with our position at all. Now, one more, and I close with the number, and that is Gordon Conwell Seminary Library. Now, Gordon Conwell right there in Massachusetts, Dr. Ockengay, the father of New Evangelicalism, completely on the other side, Gordon Fee, one of their professors, has taken the time to write a letter concerning some of the issues that are raised in the Dean Burgon. Again, these men, scholars, Greek students, don't take our position, Westcott and Hort people, don't agree with our King James Version, don't agree with our policies, but they're reading our stuff. If you don't mind my using that fine word, our stuff, our materials, that'd be better. Dr. Cedar, don't pardon me on that. We're an educated audience here. They're reading our material. Sometimes you can do it a little better with something, but we don't want to get off on that, do we? So we can go reading, and we praise God for that. And we ask that they would continue. And then the 11th thing, very quickly, and we'll close with this. We thank God, hitherto hath He blessed us in finances. In finances. Before I bring the treasurer up for his treasurer's report, I want him, as I close, to come up for that. I want to just mention a 12th thing, and then we'll go back to this, an even dozen. And that is, I praise God hitherto that the Lord helped us in the Dean Burgon Society in colleges and seminaries who have established Dean Burgon chapters. that only is one, it's singular, and that's Maranatha Baptist Bible College. But I praise God for the one. President, Dr. Hollywood, the sponsor, these good students, some of them are here tonight. They asked me to address them this evening, which I did at 6 o'clock, I guess it was, till about 6:45. They're an interested group of students at that college, and some of you are right here tonight. And we praise God for this. This is, God has blessed us in this. It's the first college in any area of this country or the world that has a chapter of the Dean Burial Society. And I want us to double. I want us to go on. I want us to get more. But praise God for that. So hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And we praise God for all that He's done for us.